being here tonight in the house of the Lord, and appreciate the good singing and the good testifying tonight.
Yes.
And thank you, Brother Danny. It's a joy to be back here at Black Oak. And need you pray for me tonight. And having some problems with my throat. I'm not sick, and I'm just having some problems. I don't know. I guess I've yelled at Baptist for so many years. Affecting my throat. But anyway, having a few problems. I might gag here a little while, but I'll be all right. Don't worry about it. All right. We're in Matthew chapter number 13. If you would please turn there tonight, Matthew 13. And you pray for me tonight. I do my best to honor the Lord tonight. And I want to be a help to you. So I pray the Lord would help me use me tonight. And thank you for the good report of Brother Pace being with you yesterday and the good preaching. And thank God for that.
Yes.
Amen. All right, we're in Matthew 13, and I'm going to start with verse number 1. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse number 19 of the same chapter. The Lord now is explaining this parable to His disciples. And He says in verse 18, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. I want to preach to you tonight on wasted seed. Wasted seed. You can be seated. My Father, I pray that You'd help me tonight. I want to give You good praise, Lord, and magnify Your precious name for helping me get to come and be in this good place once again. Lord, I pray that You'd forgive me of all inside sin, evil thoughts, and pride, and anything wicked, Lord, that may grieve You or hinder You in any way. I want perfect liberty from Thee. And Lord, I don't know how to preach. And I'm not here to try to appear to be educated, because I'm not. And I just want to deliver that which You place upon my heart. And I pray that it go in tonight. And Lord, help us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I struggled for a good while about what to preach tonight. And I was reminded of And I don't mean any of these comments to make you feel bad or to paint a bad picture about my church, but I was getting close time for me to go back to my church and preach once again recently. And I went out on my front porch and I guess I just somewhat despondent and feeling dry and dead in my heart. And I just began to talk to the Lord a little bit and I said, "Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never exhausted the Word of God. I know if a man preached for 100 years every day, he'd never exhaust that book right there. I know that. But I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't know what else to say." And I'm just being honest out of my heart. I told God that. I said, I just don't know what else to say. I feel like I've tried to preach the cross, and I've tried to preach on the blood, and I've tried to preach for conviction, and I've tried to preach on hell, and I've tried to preach on heaven, and I've tried to preach against the devil. Yeah. And I tried to preach on how people ought to live and get the world out of them and sin out of them. And I feel like I'm just kind of going around and around and around and around and around. In fact, I pray about it, and we normally have services 3 times a week, but I went in Sunday morning yesterday and I said, "There ain't going to be no church tonight." And I said, "I want you to go home." And I didn't want them to watch TV, and I didn't want them to play any games, and I didn't want them to play on the computer.
Amen.
And I didn't want them to go out running around. I just really wanted them to find a place on the porch or a pine thicket or in a back room somewhere and try to let some of this seed that's piling up go in.
Come on.
And so I'm preaching to you tonight about a very familiar text that we all have read and studied and heard preached, and it's the parable of the sower. And you know these things already, but the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And when he's given this parable, he's given this parable about hearing. Yes. All these different grounds that the seed fell upon, only one ground produced the fruit that the seed is supposed to produce.
Yes.
And that was the good ground.
Yes.
There was other ground that the seed fell on. There was stony ground, there was thorny ground, and then there was the wayside ground. Amen? Are y'all with me?
Come on.
Amen? All right. And so the sower went forth to sow. There's three problems. There's a problem with the seed that has fallen on the thorny ground and on the stony ground. It kind of germinated a little bit, and it sprung up, but the heat of the day, the trials of life began to bore down, and they fizzed off. Amen?
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of fizzing off in this space.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
They're fizzing away, and God's people in our little churches are getting all sad and all depressed. I'm going to tell you, if we's all right with God, we'd be running this laps around this church because we are victims of prophecy. As preacher Billy Mitchell says, we're victims of prophecy. And we're seeing happen exactly what Jesus said would happen. Amen? And what's being revealed is some of that seed that fell over on the stony ground and it had no deepness whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it fell in thorny ground. Amen?
I pastored some thorny Baptists.
Amen.
They're thorny Baptists. That thorny ground is that worldly ground. Them thorns grow up and they choke out of that seed. Amen. That world never helps nobody.
Right.
Now listen to me tonight. I'm going to listen because there's a lot of people that are listening to their uncles and aunts and cousins and people they're going to work with, and they're leaving the old time holy lady, and they're going off down here at some entertainment church somewhere where they got one of them big buildings and big parking lots, and they're taking those children and absolutely ruining them. And I'm here to tell you, if you study that Bible from the front to the back, and nowhere in that Bible is the church commissioned to entertain anybody.
Amen.
I didn't come here to get entertained. And if you come to watch me entertain you, you might as well get your money back and go on and leave tonight. Because I'm not entertaining you.
Amen.
You still sitting in the same place. You're going to be blocking blue by the time I get done this morning. Amen. I'm going to flail the dead box out of there. Amen. And I'm here to tell you something. We're seeing a lot of that thorny ground. Thorny ground that's choking people out. Now I'm interested in that one where that seed went over on that wayside.
Oh, yeah.
That hard ground where the world's been walking and trampling and stomping and packing it down. And so we got three grounds mentioned here that are problem grounds.
Yeah.
And none of that problem has anything to do with the sower. Amen?
Right.
The sower is perfect.
Yeah.
That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And sowing seed. Amen? He's still sowing seed. Well, I thank God for that good word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Now, I can tell tonight, and I've come to preach to you, but I want to help you tonight.
Yes.
Y'all got a little bit of problem that I've got and my church has got. You're wallowing in mullet growths a little bit. Amen?
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. We ought to start thanking God for what He's done for us. And we ought to thank God for that good Bible right there.
Yeah.
Thank God for that good King James Bible.
Amen.
We support a missionary over to North Korea. That's communist country. And every time he sends us a letter, he says, do not post this on the internet. And you don't see men get saved. But he has to do everything in secret.
Yeah.
He lives in a little apartment, and he's trying to secretly have a church, and he's seen a few get saved, and send out a picture, and he'll blacken their faces before he mails it out. If the communists find out who that is, they'll kill him.
Yeah.
They'll kill him.
Oh.
And they'll kill that missionary. And I'm going to tell you something. Do you know how he baptizes? You probably don't like it, but he's doing the best he can. He gets one of those little blown up, little swimming pool things that you have to blow up. He puts it in his living room, and he baptizes those new converts.
Amen.
He has to do it in secret. They have to hide their Bibles. And over there, if you've got a Bible and a preacher, they think that, listen, heaven's been awful good to them, that God would come and find them out. You know what our problem is?
Uh-huh.
We've wallowed around with preaching so much that we don't appreciate preaching.
Right.
Listen, I'm not asking you to magnify me. I'm just an old sinner been saved by the grace of God. But I'm here to tell you something. In Fort Payne, Alabama, and over there at McDonald, Tennessee, we're a bunch of spoiled brats, and we've had a lot of preaching, and we don't appreciate any preaching anymore. Amen? We've gotten so used to it, and that seed has gone out, and the sower has gone, but there's some problem ground. There's no problem with the sower, and there's no problem with that seed.
Amen.
That's good seed. That's not foul seed that he threw over there on the wayside. No. That's good seed.
Yeah.
And that Bible right there, that King James Bible, is the right seed.
Amen.
It's good seed, and the sower is still sowing. He administers that to God-called preachers, and they come and they sow that seed.
Yes.
Now listen, they didn't have big equipment back then. Them that went out there to sow that seed, they broadcasted that seed with their hands. It took strength and power to walk through those fields all day long. Throwing that seed out. And I'm here to tell you something, friend. A true Holy Ghost God-called preacher puts energy and time in this preaching. Amen. That puts energy and time in that preaching. And to be mindful and trying to meditate. And I promise you, I've done my best to try to know what God wanted me to preach tonight. Amen. Right here.
Yeah.
Amen? Oh, I'm not looking for no buttons. I don't deserve any trophies. But I'm here to tell you, this is serious business about preaching the Word of God. Nothing is any more important. Now, I'll tell you what, I was in my pulpit the other day, I believe it was on Wednesday, and I was talking to my people, and I looked out, and I saw a young adult lady sitting back over here on this corner in the back, and I saw her glancing down and doing something with her hands, and the Holy Ghost said to me, cell phone.
Amen.
Cell phone.
Amen.
And I said, I want all cell phones off. Amen.
Amen.
Put them up. Amen.
Yeah.
And I told, you know what I told them? I was joking a little bit, but I said, I'm thinking about having me some mirrors going along the ceiling where I can stand up there and sit down in y'all's laps.
Amen.
Yeah. Can you imagine preaching going on and somebody playing with a cell phone?
Sure I can.
Can you imagine that's going all over our churches?
Yeah.
It's all in our churches.
Amen.
Do you know why? Because we take for granted that precious Word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We take for granted that precious Word of God.
Yes.
So the sower went forth to sow. And some of this seed, and I'm focusing tonight on this one particular problem, on the wayside, where this seed fell. And verse number 19, he's given us a picture of this problem. Here's what he says. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Now I'm going to pause right there just a minute. I'm interested in that heareth the word and understandeth it not. Literally, that word understand, y'all wait, listen to me. It means to put together. It means to make application with reverence to the one who is speaking the word.
Amen.
Or giving the speech.
Amen, Lord.
It's talking about putting together. And understanding with reverence to make application. And here's what he says. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. So here's what they do. They sit and they listen to the preaching, and there is no reverence in their heart.
Amen.
For the word of God.
Right.
They don't count it any great opportunity for sitting in a house where preaching is taking place.
Oh, yeah.
They're sitting there and they're playing, they're thinking about chicken, they're thinking about going out to eat, they're thinking about TV programs,
amen.
They're thinking about cell phones, they're thinking about their jobs, their paychecks, and everything.
Come on.
And they don't have any reference whatsoever to sit on the edge of their seat with a humble spirit, bow before a holy God that He is preaching to them the Word of God, and they willingly refuse to put together and to make application of the Word of God in their own lives.
Amen.
Yeah, that's taking place just about every time a man of God gets up to preach.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Sure, yeah.
Now, he said, when the seed falls on the kind of ground like that, He said, then cometh the wicked one. That's that fowl of the air. He comes and he casteth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. It's that individual that got religion. They got religion. It's the individual that says, you know, Brother Danny's calling for meeting. And I need to be a good church member and go.
Mm-hmm.
And they come and they had a hard day at work. They're tired, but they're going to be a good church member.
Yeah.
And they're getting dressed and they come and they're sitting there brain dead.
Yeah.
Brain dead. Just kind of. And you can always tell when you have turned into the wayside hearer.
Yeah.
Because wayside hearers will always sit like they're brain dead. They're detached from the service.
Amen.
And another way that you can tell, they'll always have a critical spirit.
Yeah.
Well, why are they singing again? And why don't Brother Danny get this thing going?
Yeah.
And where's everything at? And where's everybody at? And it don't look like there's a big crowd. And they might as well go and dig a hole and bury this thing. It's better than 4 o'clock. And I'm going to tell you why it's there. It's there because we have hardened our hearts against the preaching of the Word of God. Now, you listen to me just a minute. If you say by the grace of God, how much further are you along with the Lord tonight than you were 1 year ago?
Come on.
How much further along are you with the Lord tonight than you were 1 year ago?
Come on.
5 years ago.
Pray, Brother John.
10 years ago. In most cases, they're still doing the same thing tonight they were doing 10 years ago.
Amen.
They're just warming that foam rubber up.
Come on.
They're not going any further. You know what they are? They're wayside here. Wayside here.
Come on.
And the seed is being broadcast. And they're being critical toward their brother. And they're saying, preacher. Ram that towards so-and-so over there.
Yeah.
And then they go out and get in the car or the truck and they leave and they want to do one of these numbers to their husband or wife. Did you see who was there tonight?
Uh-huh.
Did you hear what that man of God said? Those people are wayside hearers. Wayside hearers. They fail to put together what the message means to them. Amen? Now, look here just a minute tonight. And the fowl is the devil. He's coming down and he's casting away. He's casting away what Brother Pace preached to yesterday.
Yeah, come on now.
What did he preach yesterday? What did he preach to yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
It don't mean anything to us.
They all forgot.
It don't mean anything.
Yeah.
It don't mean anything to us. Amen. What's something special that Brother Daniel's preached in the last month that really has changed your life? Do you know something? Every time the Word of God is preached, it ought to increase our life.
Sure, Lord.
Amen?
Yeah.
Y'all with me tonight?
Yes, sir. Amen.
It ought to increase our life. It ought to affect our life. Amen? That's right. That's right. It ought to make us better husbands.
Yeah.
It ought to make you ladies better wives. It ought to make our church better.
Yeah,
amen.
Man.
I got some of my people talking about Canton. There's about three of them they keep talking to. So, Brother Danny said something about the church needing encouragement. I hung up the phone and I thought, I don't know if I got three encouraging messages or not.
Yeah, there are.
I want to say something to help you. I told them, I said, let me tell you something. I want y'all to go to camp meeting. I want y'all to go all you can.
Yeah.
But I said, if you're going to go to camp meeting, when you get back, you going to camp meeting ought to affect this entire church.
Amen.
Don't you all believe that?
Yeah.
I believe that. It all affected the entire church. Amen. I told them, I said, I was about sick of these camp meetings that people turn into religious vacations.
Amen.
They just want to go and hee haw around and run wide open and go out to eat and go back in the fellowship hall and gorge. Amen. And then get run to shopping all afternoon and they come into preaching and it don't mean anything. They go back to their little church and said, I'm depressed. I gotta go back to my little church where there ain't no shackles. But I will tell you, if you was right when you went to camp, you ought to come back with a fire in your soul and burn inside of the church.
Praise, man.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And so the Bible talks about this wayside. The wayside's hard ground. It's been trodden underfoot by the world.
Yeah.
Now, if I understand my Bible right, Jesus said, we are the light of the world.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We are the light of the world. So out yonder, that world is dark. The sun's going down. It's dark outside. But if the sun was high noon, it's still dark out there.
Yeah.
The world is dark. The world has nothing light or any righteousness or anything that pertains to life that can help anybody. Are you young people listening to me?
Praise, brother.
Y'all listen to me. That world has nothing that's going to help you out there.
Amen.
Nothing whatsoever.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And we, if I understand God correctly, are supposed to be a light to that dark world.
Yes, sir.
In other words, we're supposed to influence that world.
Yeah.
But you know what? The very reverse has taken place.
Yeah.
That's
right. The very reverse has taken place.
That's right. So
out there, the darkness has come in here.
Amen.
Right.
The darkness has affected the believer. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
The darkness has affected the believer.
You're right.
And it's affected our life. We've lost our testifying. We've lost our joy. We've lost our worship. Amen.
Yeah.
We've lost our worship. We've lost our gratitude.
Yes.
We've lost our tears. We've lost our burden for sinners.
God help.
Right? We've lost our burden. Most everybody's got to have to be hooked up with an IV pole now just to get one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. All right.
Amen. Most of them come in, they want something that's going to make them feel good. Listen to me just a minute. I'm not a psychologist, but I'm going to tell you what our problem is. I'm going to tell you. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you what our problem is. Our problem is we have hardened our hearts to that Word of God.
Yes.
We harden our hearts to that Word of God.
Oh, hell.
Now, you let a man of God get up right now and preach on sin. How many of you think Hollywood's full of sin? I do.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Y'all really believe that?
Yeah.
You really believe
that?
How many of you like the golf game?
Come on.
That's right.
You're driving the right nail.
That's right. Now, don't get depressed. I'm going to tell you something. If we love that Word of God, we understand what that sin is going to do to us.
Yes.
But as soon as we get hardened and that world troughs on us and packs us down. I've got a few. I'm not here painting a picture any worse than this, but I've got a few that's already made an exit. I've got one young man that's already left.
And he's out there. He's intrigued by the world, and he's made some wrong choices in his life. My heart is broken, but there's going to be more.
Yes.
There's going to be more. The Bible said it's going to happen. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, and we're going to find out where you're planted at. Amen. We're going to find out whether you're on good ground or not. Now, the Bible's talking about wasted seed. Now, don't hit me after church and talk about the Bible says that the word would not return void. I understand that, and I'm not being irreverent about what the Bible says. But I'm preaching about a literal picture. Jesus Christ is using a literal picture of a farmer going out and broadcasting seed in a field. And you know what? Let's forget about that thorny ground. Let's forget about that stony ground. And let's talk about that wayside ground. That wayside where they walk that path around that field. And he's out there broadcasting. And let's walk over there to the wayside and let's look at it and say, hey, that farmer's just passed through here broadcasting seed. Look at here, all this seed that's on this hard, trodden ground. And all of this on that hard, trodden ground is just going to lie. It's just going to lay here. It's not over the good, fertile soil. It's on this hard, packed ground.
Amen.
You know what, Brother Joe, I can say about this seed lying out here? This seed is wasted.
Yes, sir.
This seed's not going to produce anything. This seed's not even going to spring up like that over on stony ground.
No.
This seed's wasted right here. It's all wasted. Let's stop and think. Let's look at this skeleton just a minute. I don't know what he looks like, but he's a farmer. And he's walked through this, he's plowed this field, and he's been broadcasting this seed. And I'm talking about a wasted seed. And if I could go get that farmer and bring him over here and say, hey, this part of ground here, would you throw seed at? He said, yeah, I'll never make anything. He said, but my goal is to come to the field. Jesus Christ came to provide seed for the field as a whole.
Right.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
He provided. And I said, do you see anything wasted about this seed? He said, oh, yes. He said, this seed's wasted right here. He said, the first thing I could tell you, he said, there is a wasted price of this seed.
Right.
He said, the money that I paid for this seed on the wayside right here has been wasted. The price that was paid for.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
Do you know I have preached? I've preached to lost people. I've preached to them in my church. I've been preaching to some of them for years. And I've preached and I've preached and I've preached and preached to them. And I try to preach for conviction. I try to build a case. I try to follow God. I try to preach hell hot, Calvary sweet, the power of God can convert them from their sin. I try my best with the help of God. But if they continue to sit and sit and sit and die and go to hell, I know Jesus didn't waste anything when he died and shed his blood on the cross. I know that. But when they wake up in hell, to them, it's all wasted. What was blood at the cross? Because they sat and listened and listened and listened. And they never took it. With a broken spirit of humility, sitting on the edge. Are you all know what I'm talking about? With an interest, putting together in their heart and making application about where they really stand with God. Amen? That's right. And everything we do, even after we get saved, serving God, raising our children, we don't need to come in here with walls up about raising. We don't need to come in here defensive toward the man of God about trying to preach the word to us about raising children. You need to, if you're smart and having a break, once you harden your heart to preaching about raising children, friend, you're going to lose your children.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You're going to lose your
children. Man, you're right, brother.
That's right.
You're lose
them to the world.
Right.
But you'll lose them to the world.
And so there's a wasted seed. There's a price that was paid. Look over here in Hebrews and chapter number 10 and in verse number 26. If we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. There's no other way. There's nothing else that will do. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He gave us that word, the gospel, to preach hope to sinners. And if you sit and reject that and allow all that gospel to pile up on your soul and never receive it in your heart, the Bible says, friend, if we sin willfully, what does that mean?
Yes.
That means we willfully say no.
Right.
Yes. We willfully say tomorrow, next week, another day, maybe next revival meeting. And we willfully put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law. Are you listening?
Yeah.
He that despised Moses' law. Amen. Died without mercy under two or three witnesses. There was no mercy.
No.
Can I tell you something? It's mercy you're here tonight.
Amen.
It's mercy you got a Bible.
Yeah.
It's mercy you get to hear preaching.
Yeah.
It's mercy you've had another day to move toward God, to fall on your face. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. Amen. Amen. Look with me over here in John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. I'm trying to get over there. In John chapter number 1. The Lord says some things to us. He says in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen to this. Now, he said in verse number 10, He was in the world. So I can say this, the Word was in the world. God's Word, Jesus Christ, is the Word.
Yes.
And the Word came to the world. I can close my Bible right there and shout because He didn't even have to do that much. But the living Word came to us.
Yes.
The fallen mankind. And the Bible says, the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Did you catch that? As many as receive Him.
Yes.
As many that will put together and make application with reverence in their heart to the preaching of the Word of God.
Yes.
Now I want to tell you something. You've heard my testimony a bunch of times. But I want to tell you, I made that profession when I was 9 years old. Lost as a goose. Grew up in my teenage years, didn't get saved when I was 19. Long about 16, 17 years old, I started hearing Holy Ghost preaching out of that Word of God.
Yeah.
That mountain preacher got to preaching to me.
Yeah.
And buddy, there was something about it that had come with a holy fear. A holy fear.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, something started quickening in me and interesting me. I didn't pull up like this in the church house and sat on the edge of the pew, but something was quickening me with a reverence in my heart that I needed to make application to what that man of God was saying. That possibly I wasn't all right with God. Possibly I was in trouble with God. Possibly if I drew a breath and it'd be my last, I'd wake up in eternity without God. And I saw that togetherness started coming together. And I was making application. And it quickened in my heart and brought me to a place of repentance.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. And I thank God for that.
Yes.
Amen. Here's what he says. The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word of God, that living Word of God, and this spoken Word of God that's been put on a printed page, friend, is full of grace and truth. And any other Bible that's been tampered with is full of hell and lies.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got, a few in my church that have a hard time living for God because they're constantly listening to relatives.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah.
That's right. They go to perverted churches and they don't have no man of God that preaches to them. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right.
You go to a church that believes in old time, but you better thank God for it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
If a man of God's got to pull your eye teeth to get you to come, you got a problem.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
If somebody's got to pull your eye teeth to get up and get out of, get your lazy self out of that bed and open your Bible and come on in the Bible. Come on.
Yeah, Lord.
You could have been born in a place and in a family that didn't have a Bible.
Amen.
You could have been born in a part of this country where they didn't have no old-time, old-fashioned preaching. Amen?
Right.
There's plenty of places like that.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
We support another man up in Boston, Massachusetts. You know what he said that place is called up there? It's the weak city. They entertain Satanism up there. All the demonic powers full of the devil. The whole month of October, they celebrate the devil. The whole Boston, Massachusetts. That's part of heritage territory for this nation.
Oh, yes.
Somebody told me, and I don't know what's true, I don't want to hear about it, but they told me the Republican Party met recently and was entertained by strippers and liquor.
We're down.
Can you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Those are supposed to be leaders of this nation.
Yeah.
You know what they should have had? They should have had a junkyard dog preacher down there that rolled the sleeves up and come in with a black book and throw it up on a pulpit in front of that outfit and lay his ears back and preach and got some good saints of God out of the local churches. Come down and testify and sing a little bit.
Amen.
And have some prayer meeting because our nation's on the highway to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. But they're down there with strippers and drinking liquor.
Come on.
And that's abomination.
Amen.
I don't have confidence in any of them.
No.
None of
them. Amen.
I will tell you something, friend. And I will tell you where the hell for America started. It starts right here with a revival of appreciation of this book.
Yes.
Yeah.
This may not be a profound message to you tonight, but if we don't get a hold of what I'm preaching tonight, we might as well stop having meetings like this.
Amen.
Yes,
man.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
We might as well stop having meetings. And they just about quit.
Yeah.
I go by some of these church signs where they're announcing revival. And all they put one day, they put Sunday on there. Revival meeting Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know why they do that? They don't want to disturb the little leagues.
Amen.
They do nothing bother the little leagues. And I'll tell you another reason they do that is because if they have it a full week, nobody's going to come.
Right.
They're not going to come. No, they're going to go shopping. They're going to lay in the bed. They're going to watch TV. They're not going to come to church.
Right.
This nation has turned into a heathen nation that doesn't need God.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something. I'll say, God, I want God to quicken my heart with an appreciation for this work. So this farmer would say, hey, the price that was paid for that seed has been wasted. It's been wasted.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's been wasted. I want to say this. The broadcasting of that seed, the preaching of that seed has been wasted.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah.
I'd say, hey, farmer, why don't you just walk through this field and try to eyeball good ground and just sprinkle like that? He said, that's not the way you farm. He said, you give the full field the seed.
Yes, sir.
You give the full field the seed.
Yes.
He said, if I went through trying to just sprinkle where I thought was a good place, he said, I'd never get it planted. He said, I walked through. He said, where it lands is not my problem. But I say, well, what about this seed that landed right here? How do you feel about the energy and the time that was put? And he said, well, it's wasted because nothing will come out of this seed right here. Nothing will come out of that seed. Can I tell you something? Is it any benefit to you for a preacher to preach to you?
Yes.
Is it? Can you honestly go over to some fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, and point at it and say, this came out of me sitting under preaching 3 weeks ago? Can you do that?
Yes.
Amen.
Great. Help the Lord.
Is it getting quiet or is the church singing? Is a preacher wasting time? Am I wasting my time? Brother Danny, am I wasting my time being up here tonight? I certainly hope not. I hope not. But that's up to you.
Yes, that's right.
If the call came to me, then God's got to be in it, right?
Amen.
So I'm going to marry God and do my part.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to mind God and do my part.
Yes.
You do well by minding God and doing your part.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm not going to drive away from here and say, I'm not going to get off my phone and call my wife and say, I've wasted my whole Monday night going to Blacko.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to say,
oh, God.
No.
Amen.
Even though I may not see all the results I'm going to see, I'm going to tell my wife some good things about this meeting. Good things about this meeting. I'm going to tell her what I preached on. I'm going to talk about this meeting. But if this is a drive to you, you think this is boring, you're not going to get anything out of that, then the preaching is a waste to you.
Yeah.
It's a waste to you. Was last week a waste to you? Was yesterday a waste to you? Thank God for Terry Paces.
Yeah.
Thank God for you men that are here, that are preachers. Yeah. Thank God for you. Thank God for every message that you preach. Yeah. I'm honored and privileged before God. Don't deserve it. That God would ask me to preach the gospel. I try to get out of it.
Yes.
You know, Moses tried to get out of it.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not fit. They're not going to believe me.
Oh, yeah.
He said, what you holding in your hand there? He said, an old rod. That was just an old rod that he used out there on the backside of the desert just to walk with and keep those sheep with. He said, just an old rod. It's just an old part of me. Probably even look like you. That old rod, that plain old rod. Yeah. God said, throw it on the ground. And God turned that old rod into serpents. And he said, now grab it by the tail. And he grabbed it by the tail. And it turned back. And I believe when he picked it up, it was the same old rod. Probably had the same war place where he held his eyes.
Amen.
Same old rod. And he, you know what he was saying? He said, Moses, it ain't about you.
Right.
It ain't about you.
No, it ain't.
It ain't about you and you and you.
Amen.
I'm not here to make this thing work. I sit down sometimes. I've got to wear my rocking bench out on my front porch thinking about my church all the time. And a lot of times I just sit there and say, Lord, I can't fix it. You know what he says to me every time? He said, I ain't asked you to fix anything.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's right. I got to remind myself, I'm not here to fix. I didn't come up here to fix you tonight.
Amen.
I'm not because I'll tell you what can't fix you is that Word of God right there.
Yeah.
That Word of God, if you'll take that Word of God and appropriate it in your life and be glad for it. Amen.
Amen.
Be glad for it.
Yes.
And thank God for it.
God.
And jump in the car and say, honey, you know what God spoke to me about? He spoke to me and he said for me to line up all the cell phones in the driveway and burn rubber over top of all of them. Yeah. He said for me to, he said to pop the clutch and spin rubber over top of all them cell phones.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now, if we take that word of God right, we'll take that with joy.
Yeah.
And if God told you to do that, you know what's going to happen to you tomorrow? You're going to be increased.
Right.
You're going to have life. That's right.
Yes.
A wasted price? Wasted preaching? Wasted prayer?
Yeah.
Pray! I prayed about this meeting. You prayed about this meeting?
Yes.
Have you prayed about this meeting?
Yes.
Could we go ahead and turn the calendar over to the throne to Friday night and say it's all been waste?
God help.
We showed up. Brother Ronnie yelled and preached and made some dogmatic statements, and we kind of grinned a little bit. Part of us too. It's over with now. We're going on just like we've always gone.
Come on. Great.
I don't want to be that person.
No.
Now listen to me. All over our country are little churches where there's power, praise,
yes,
joy, sinners getting saved, people united and pulling together.
God,
it ain't that way.
Help us, Lord.
No.
Ain't that way. It's not that way in the majority of the churches.
Yes, you're
so
right.
So what are we going to do?
Help us, Lord.
What are we going to do? Can anybody think of anything better we can do? I can't. I don't know who else to turn to, do you?
Right.
If I don't like God anymore, if I don't like my Lord anymore, if I don't like His Word anymore, if I think it's a waste of time to talk to Him nowadays, what else am I going to do? Can anybody think of anything else we could do? There's nothing else we can do. As soon as you detach yourself from that Word of God, you begin to die.
Right.
We are where we are today because of our rebellion and disobedience.
Amen.
You can talk about the youth programs all you want to talk about, but none of our churches needs a youth program.
Amen.
None of them. I think it's great to get together in fellowship. I don't mind getting some young people together and go buy them a hamburger and just let them have a little fun and get together and talk about that. But it don't need to go on while the man of God's preaching.
Amen.
God didn't commission the church to do that.
Amen.
If we never bought them a hamburger, if we never tossed the ball to them and told them to hit it, It's not the church's responsibility.
Amen.
Our life-giving source is in that Word of God.
Yes.
And here He's talking about the wayside. And the wayside, He said over here in Proverbs, He's talking about wasted praying. And He said in Proverbs in 28, y'all just hang on, I'm going to read you a verse of Scripture right here. Proverbs and 28 and verse number 9. Listen. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law.
Right.
Listen. Even his prayer shall be an abomination.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes.
Is God hearing your prayer?
God.
You see, y'all look good to me, and I hope I look all right to you. But all I can see is how you dress. The fact that Monday night, Labor Day, you showed up at the house of God. In my book, you get a big check mark. I commend you for that. The only problem about all that is God can see inside of
everyone.
He sees inside of every one of us, and He knows inside of every one of us how we've been taking His law.
Yeah.
His word. It's preaching. Now I'm going to ask you something else. How's that open window in your prayer life doing these
things? Come on now.
Is it open?
God help us, Lord.
Or are you having to waller, dig, push, wall around, scratched.
Right. Come on.
Prayer's gotten boring because nothing's going through.
No.
You about quit. Nothing's going through. God said, you start despising His Word and His law, your prayers will turn into an abomination. Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes, yes.
He's not impressed with your prayer, my prayer either.
No.
If we want to come here, act like we're going through Lion's Buffet,
come on.
Pick out what we like and what we don't like.
Lord, help.
Cross our arms in the sand. He's always that way. Jones is always like that. We just won't listen. I ain't trying to run your life, but God is.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Right. God is.
Yes.
Now I'll tell you in the heartbeat, the TV and the internet and the cell phones and boyfriends and girlfriends and stylish clothing is just going to send kids to destruction.
Amen.
But to see a dad, to see a dad.
I told you about my dad. If I brought my daddy's Bible here tonight, I'd have to bring it in a box
where he's wore it out. I was raised by dad every evening after supper. My dad had one wore out chair in the corner of the living room where he studied his Bible.
Yeah.
It's implanted in my mind and in my heart. Yes. I thank God for that.
Yes.
The law and judgment fell at my house according to that Bible. You know what that Bible says right there about lying? My dad was a good minister to make sure you didn't lie. And my man was lying. That's right. They've been saying you lied to the teacher. He took an awful big apple tree limb and frailed the daylights out of me for lying.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for a daddy like that.
Yes, sir.
There ain't many kids that got a daddy like that. No. You say, preacher, I don't want a daddy like that, but I'm glad I had a daddy like
that.
I thought I had a bad thing having a daddy and a mama like I had when I was a kid. But after I've been saved over 37 years ago and trying to serve God, I'm glad I had a dad that knew where the apple tree was.
Yes,
knew the Bible. Amen. And put the fear of God in me.
Yes.
We need to thank God for it.
Yes.
We need to thank God for that.
Yes.
Are y'all with me tonight?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. We need to thank God for that.
Amen.
I want to close. I've got to close. I've been preaching too long.
Oh, yeah. It's on.
I'm not trying to be silly, but I want you to stay with me just a minute. What I want to do is I'm going to take a corn of wheat, a grain of wheat, and I want to put a personality in that corn of wheat. Jesus said, and I may not quote it just right, but except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, then it remaineth. But if it die, it bringeth forth fruit.
Yes.
Can that grain of wheat die in you? Can it? Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Can it die in you? Let's put a personality in that corn of wheat. And that corn of wheat is testifying to us. And he said, one day I was a grain. And he said, my master was flinging us grains all over this field. And he said, I landed in good soil. And he said, when I landed, that fertile soil kind of crumbled in around me.
and it rained. And it washed me down in that fertile dirt. And the sun came out. And it heated that soul up. And a divine quickening process took place.
Yes.
It sprouted.
Yeah.
That grain died. And a sprout came out of it. And went down in that ground. And in a few days, he says, a shoot came up.
Mm-hmm.
And began to grow. Turned into a star. Mm-hmm. And he said, on the very top of me, he said, 100-fold. Right there on top.
Yeah.
Multiply.
Yeah.
They came along one day with a sickle, cut my stock off, and they took that 100-fold, and they took it over there to the winnowing place, where they threw it up in the air. The wind blew through it, and it got all the chaff off of it.
Yeah.
All that 100-fold got the chaff.
Amen.
He said, we went into a sack. And he said, went down to the marketplace, and a woman came by, and she bought my 100-fold and a bunch of other 100-fold in that sack.
Yeah.
And she went home, and she put it in a bowl, and mashed it, and broke it all up, made a fine flour. And she said, she took my 100-fold along with that other, and she baked 5 loaves. Bread. Y'all know where I'm going?
Yes. Yeah.
And she took that 5 loaves out of that oven and put it in a lunch basket.
Yeah.
And gave it to her boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the master was over yonder preaching.
Amen.
And that boy walked down there and said that fish was stinking, but she put 2 fish and 5 loaves in that basket. And said that little boy gave the master his 5 loaves. And he talked to his father. And he got the pulling us apart. And he fed 5,000 men.
Yeah.
Plus their wives. And their children.
Yeah.
Because 1 grain of wheat.
Yeah.
Died.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Can that die in you? You don't need to answer that question. If this don't die in you, you've lost her and all them.
That's right.
Thank you,
sir. Right.
I'm not
going to do this.
If this don't die in you, sis. Brother Schaefer, if this don't die in you and don't die in me, Brother Michael, it's got to die. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. I am, brother.
It's got to go inside and appropriate inside.
Yeah.
But if we cut it off and make that ground hard, it's right there. And we start gritting our teeth, saying, I don't like that. All of a sudden, the spirit grows cold in our churches.
Yeah.
Our hearts get dead. We start arguing and fussing. Kids grow up, and that out there looks better to them.
You're right.
That's a message tonight. And if we don't change our heart and our attitude about this right here, if God will give me the grace, I'll be back tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. But if we don't change what we're doing with that right there today,
that's right.
If I say something else, there's going to be some wasted gas up here.
Yes, sir.
God, give me more. I'm not going to begrudge you.
Help us, Lord.
I'm not going to begrudge you. God set the order, gave me the time, told me to do it. I'll come and do it to honor my master.
Amen.
I'm not being smart, Ellie, but I really didn't come just to honor you, Brother Joe.
Yes, sir.
I come to honor the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to get on the receiving end.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Receive it. I ain't been preaching as long as a lot of preachers have been preaching. But I'll tell you something. Brother Schaefer, Brother Danny, I'll tell y'all something. I get to a place a lot of times.
Yes.
I need to take something in.
Yes,
right. Yes, we too, brother.
I need to take something in. I need something to come inside of me.
Amen.
I need to listen. Because when you're just throwing out, I'm not trying to play a pity party. But man, I'll tell you, I thank God for the privilege to be able to take something in.
Yes.
And do what that precious book tells me to do.
Yes.
And obey God. Because there's, what do you say, grace and truth in that word right there.
Yes.
And it's the only thing that's going to help us.
Yes. Right.
And they came over here across that sea to come into this land so that we could raise our families by that book.
Right.
And all of a sudden now, after all these years, we've decided we don't want that book.
Right.
God help.
But I beg to differ about that.
Yes, sir.
Because after we've been in the process of cutting that book out of our life, this nation has been spiraling down.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Right.
Let's stand together. I don't hardly know how to give an invitation. Can that book go in you? Can that word go inside of you? What about what that word says about pride? Because they've got one thing going to keep you in your seat tonight is going to be pride. That's right. I don't believe we have no sin. If you just feel the need to pray, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you feel the need to pray, this altar is open to you. How do you take that word? How long has it been since you've increased in the Word of God? You better be honest tonight. You better be truthful tonight about where you're at, how much you appreciate that good Bible. You feel a need to pray, you come up here and pray tonight. You don't have to have a song. That's right, you're doing right. You bind God.
Save a bit more precious.